Father, we come before You and thank You for the Holy Scriptures. We do ask that You would give us wisdom and insight, that we would proclaim accurately what the Scriptures teach. And where we're wrong and do not see clearly ourselves, we pray that You would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And particularly, my Father, in my own situation, that I would have clarity of mind and thought and speech to be able to speak accurately to others that they may hear, knowing at the same time that You must accompany the Word and bless it to the hearts of those who do hear audibly, that they might hear on a deeper level, yea, even in their heart and soul, and that the Word would not fall to the ground, but that it would bring forth fruit to Your honor and to Your glory. It is the truth that shall set men free. But it is not the truth in just a mere form and a mere shell. But it is the truth as it is applied to the heart and soul of an individual. Father, we pray that You would bless us that we might be drawn closer to You and that we might know You in a fuller and a richer way. We thank You for the truth of the Holy Scriptures that gives us knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we would pray for those Sanballats and Tobias that would do what they can to cause havoc and unrest and discord in the assembly of the saints, that You indeed would change their hearts or remove them from this position. We know that nothing is impossible with You. We would pray that Thy people would see eye to eye and honor and glorify You on every occasion. We know, Father, there have always been those that would hinder the gospel. And Paul had those in his day. There will be those today, and there will ever be those that will rise up and do all that they can to try to be big or little popes or whatever you want to call them, Father. But we know that You are true, and we know that righteousness will prevail, and we know that truth will prevail, and we glory in that. And we long to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when all the wrong shall be made right. And we that all of the enemies of the gospel shall be brought down. We long to see that day. We also pray, Father, that the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. We pray, Father, that You would show Yourself mighty in a grand and a glorious way. But we pray in the meanwhile that You would bless us to be mindful of what You have called us to do and to be, and that we are to follow You, we are to love You, and we are to serve You with all fullness of heart and mind and soul. And yea, Father, we pray that You would continue to be with us as we live in this nation, that though the wickedness abounds on every hand, and false religion is being advanced, and Christianity is being, they're doing all that they can to stop it. We know the Caesars have always been Caesars, and Caesars are no friend of Christ. We know that the political world, the entertainment world, no world out there of any kind or sort is a friend of Christ, and have ever been on the hunt to stamp out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Christianity, but it shall not be. Thy kingdom shall prevail. We thank you for that. Now bless us as we look into your holy word, and we ask it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just as a side note of what I just said, or just prayed, there was some type of a meeting among the Democrats not long ago, and they had a Muslim to give the invocation, and he prayed for for more Muslims to be, that their gospel would be advanced and there'd be more Muslims. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I want you to know that. I'm not either one. I don't think there's a dime's worth of difference in the two parties. But I'm just saying that to let you know the state of where our nation is going, because our Republican government, the Republicans in the government, they've given their nod to the Muslims as well. While there have been chaplains thrown out of the military service for praying in the name of Jesus Christ, and the chaplains are taught not to pray in the name of Christ. So anyway, that's the reason I prayed as I did. The only thing that will deliver a nation is for God to grant that nation a revival of the preaching of the gospel. God can do however or whatever he wants to do. But our topic has been, with reference to knowing God, hearing the word. And we're still looking at hearing the word. And we pointed out there's a difference in hearing and hearing. Some people, some children raised in a Christian home, know all the doctrines, know all the ins and outs of their denominational isms and schisms, and maybe a few others. They may think they've heard when really they never have heard. You must hear not just with an audible voice, but it must be in the heart. And I'm here to declare, as I have ever declared, that if you're serving Christ for any other purpose than for the glory of Christ, it is not a service from the heart of Christ in you. You don't serve God for the benefits. You serve God for the benefactor. You serve it for the Lord himself. We also pointed out that the gospel is to be preached to people for people to hear. You say, well, God could do it another way. God could do it however he wants to. But he ordained men to preach the gospel. And as we pointed out last Lord's Day, Cornelius was already a child of grace in Acts chapter 10. But he sent an angel to Peter, and he sent an angel to Cornelius to go and get a man to tell him how he and his house was to be saved. We didn't say regenerated. He was already regenerated. And as we've said before, eternal life is not regeneration. Regeneration is a part of eternal life, but it's not all of eternal life. Eternal life consists also in knowing God, knowing the true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, as our text for these series of messages is John 17:3. Today we want to take up the fact that God's sheep hear. God's sheep hear. As I have said many times before and want to say again, there's not a biblical verse nor a scriptural example of a child of grace that has not heard and did not serve the Lord. You say, well, what about all of those multiplied out of every tongue, nation, kindred, tribe, and so on? What about all of those individuals that the Bible speaks of? Well, out of all those that the Bible speaks of, and I believe that, You cannot find one example of an individual or a precept that declares that there are those that do not hear. And immediately the question is brought up, what about infants and those that are born with a mental incapacity to hear as we normally think of it? And I will say the Bible is silent about that. The Bible does not address that. And God will take care of that. And I believe that our forefathers from our London brethren in England and our forefathers here in America were wise in adopting the confession of faith. And in the chapter on effectual call, Article 3, they make the statement, and I will read it, "Elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit, who worketh when and where and how He pleaseth. So also are all other elect persons who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the Word." And that's where we have to leave it. That's as close as any could say. Now, some of the modern confessions, by the way, that claim to be the London Confession and claim to be the Philadelphia Confession, take the first word of that article off, and they don't say elect infants, they say infants. And the first individual that I have ever found in history that took the elect off of that article was Charles Spurgeon when he reprinted the London Confession of Faith. And so I differ with those that have taken it off. Our forefathers meant what they said. They said elect infants. They didn't say whether all were or whether all were not. We do not know. The Bible is silent. And there's no reason of arguing about what the Bible does not speak. And I'm not going to argue about what the Bible does not say. But God's sheep hear. God's sheep hear. Now, whether they will sit in a church building and hear a preacher, that's God's business. Whether they will or won't, I'm not going to say. I do not know that. But I do know what the Bible says, God's sheep hear. Now let's begin looking at some verses. There are multiplied verses that could be used. John chapter 8 is the first place we want to take up. John chapter 8. I have a hard time believing that our Heavenly Father, who is a better father than an earthly father, I have a hard time believing that He will bring children into the world and not feed them. He's going to feed them with His Son. He may do it in various and sundry ways. I do not know how, but He will do it. That's the reason we believe in irresistible grace or efficacious grace. God's sheep here, John 8. Jesus speaking to some Jews that were trying to kill Him. He said in verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Jesus stated to some people that He was talking to that you cannot hear my word. Now sometimes you may say, well, maybe the preacher didn't make it plain enough. Jesus Christ was a perfect preacher. Jesus Christ was a perfect teacher. So there was nothing wrong with His teaching method. There was nothing wrong with His preaching method. The problem was in the hearts of those who heard. They heard audibly, but they did not understand, and they did not hear His speech. They did not understand His words. He said, and the thing that really brought on all of this, He said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." You are really my disciple if you continue in the word. And that's what He said. And they answered and they said, "We were never in bondage to anybody." And He said, "Yes, you were. And then they've tried to accuse him and so on and so forth. But he brings it down to it. He said, the reason you don't understand, the reason you don't hear what I'm saying, the reason it doesn't make sense to you is because you cannot hear my word. That's the reason. So some cannot hear. He said, ye are of your father the devil. And so on. And then he said in verse 47. I read verse 43, didn't I? I meant to read verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not because you are not of God. Now Jesus made the statement. He said, he that is of God heareth God's word. So I'm going to say, well, there's a lot of people out there that are of God and they never hear God's word. Here it says he hears God's word. Plain and simple. You say, well, that means they hear him in regeneration. Well, that's not what it says here. It says he hears God's word. And they knew what God's word was. Jesus knew what God's word was. He didn't say, you hear me. He said, you hear God's word. You hear the Holy Scriptures. You pay attention to the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are your rule of faith and practice. You know, that's what Baptists claim to believe. We believe that the Scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice. But then we're going to believe everything else that the Scriptures don't teach. No, the Scriptures are our rule of faith and practice. Not what mother believed, not what daddy believed, not even what the London Confession believes if it's contrary to the Scriptures. I think their Baptist forefathers did a good job in bringing that confession. I think they did a good job. And all of our so-called denomination was built on that confession. There's no question about it. Anybody that questions that doesn't know history. They have no concept of history. And I know some have written a so-called history book saying that it wasn't. But they are wrong. And we can prove them wrong if we have to. I think it's so clear it doesn't need to be proven. Anyway, John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Again, we find the Scriptures. Here, another individual, this man that was born blind, and they didn't want to believe that Jesus had healed the man. Jesus broke their tradition. But he said in verse 31, now we know, John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And we're going to get to that in our next point. I don't know that we'll get to it today. It's not the next point. One of the other points of praying according to the will of God. If you don't do the will of God, God doesn't hear your prayers. Proverbs says, he that refuseth to hear the law, his prayers are an abomination to God. An individual says, well, I'm going to serve God. God understands. I'm going to do it my way. He knows what I mean. If you don't do it according to his word, he doesn't hear your prayers. But anyway, we're looking at those who hear. Now let's get down to more concrete. Turn to John 10. John chapter 10. There's so much here that it's hard to leave some things out. So in case someone thinks I'm just picking and choosing like some of the cults do of the Scriptures and just to make my own doctrine, let's start at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, this should be clear, but let's just suppose that you've got a bunch of shepherds out here, You've got shepherd A. You've got a shepherd over here with a bunch of sheep, and a shepherd over here, a bunch of shepherds over here having sheep. During the night, they would bring their sheep into this sheepfold, this pen. Therefore, they could be guarded and kept. And Jesus said that a true shepherd will not climb over the wall into the sheepfold. A true shepherd is going to come in by the gate. A true shepherd will go in to the gate. And to him, verse 3, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, what do we mean here? Shepherd A with his flock of sheep, and so in here you've got sheep that belong to A, B, C, D, E, and so on. So you've got all these sheep in here. Shepherd B comes to the gate, and he calls his sheep, Betsy, Sue, Bob, and so on. He said, well, that sounds funny. Well, I was raised on a farm, and we didn't have sheep, but we had cows. And so what he's saying is, when B, the shepherd, comes to the gate and calls his sheep, only his sheep follow him. Sheep that belong to A, C, D, and E will not follow B. Now you see the pattern. I've got a book at home. There was a traveler many years ago in Israel, and he walked up to a shepherd, and he asked that shepherd, he said, are all of your sheep out there in the flock, out there grazing? And he said, all of them there? He said, yes. He said, how do you know? Have you counted them all today? He said, no, I haven't counted them. He said, how do you know? He said, mister, you can go out into my flock. First of all, he said, you can blindfold me. You can go out into my flock, and you can get any sheep there and bring that sheep to me, and I can feel of his face and tell you his name. When I was in Israel in 1972, we were going down the street there in that city of Jerusalem, cars going every which way, and there was a man that had his flock of sheep, and he was driving that flock of sheep. No, he was leading that flock of sheep through the traffic, and they followed him, and he was calling their names. When I lived on the farm, the cows knew me and I knew them. You've heard me give this illustration before. One time, a neighbor of ours was in the hospital. Actually, a bull had gotten him down. He liked it, not made it. But he was in the hospital, and so we neighbors helped milk his cows for him. I went up there to milk the cows one time. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. I almost got kicked several times. They were quite nervous, and naturally they went to the bathroom quite a bit. And it was a very, very trying ordeal to milk those cows. Not only that, the man's production of milk fell off that period of time he was in the hospital, because the cows were not comfortable, and they were not content, and they didn't give as much milk as they normally would. So you can see the shepherd, the herdsman, whatever you want to call him in this case, they know the voice of the shepherd. And when he goes to the sheepfold and calls them, they follow him. Now this is the parable that our Lord is using to teach a lesson about him, the true shepherd. Verse 4, John 10. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, notice, his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, I'm not going to get into the door part there. There's a lot of good preaching. But I want to stick with this one thing. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Did you catch that? You say, what about those in the Old Testament? All that ever came before Jesus that claimed to be the Christ were thieves and robbers, and he said they did not follow him, follow them. You remember Elijah? He thought one time he was the only one. He said, Elijah, I've got 7,000 out there you don't even know about. They're following me. They're not following Baal. They're not following false religions. God has his people there. And they follow him. They don't follow other gods. They don't follow other doctrines. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, by me, if they go in. He didn't say, if they do it on their own. I'll just say that much about that, but let's go on. I don't want to get sidetracked from this point. I don't want to get all the other points. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ said, I come that my sheep will have life and have it more abundantly. Did he fail? Did Christ fail? I say Christ is not a failure. He's successful. I believe his sheep have life, and I believe his sheep have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now you think about that. Notice what he said. He said, I know the sheep, and the sheep know me. What is eternal life? It's knowing God, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus Christ said, I know the sheep. But he said, equally the sheep know me. You can't get around that. You can't get around the fact that Christ Jesus said, my sheep know me. The sheep do not, not only that I know the sheep and the sheep know me. He said the sheep will not follow another. A won't follow B. C won't follow B. D won't follow B. E won't follow B. B will follow B. My sheep, I know them, they know me. Just as plain as anything for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But for those who do not have eyes to see and ears to hear, man, that's confusing. I don't know what you're talking about. And you know what? I can't show it to you. Only God can. Only God can. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe the Bible. You say, well, who are you to say you don't believe? I don't believe the Bible? The Scriptures say, I know my sheep know me. He said, they won't follow another shepherd. You can't get any plainer than that. He said, well, I just don't believe it. Well, you're an unbeliever. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Now notice this. He's talking about knowing. He said, I know the sheep know me. And then he hones in on knowing again. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Who's he talking about there? The Gentiles. He's talking about the Gentiles. Other sheep that I have which are not of this fold. Here he's talking about the Jewish fold. There's another fold out here that he has some more sheep, and he can go over there and call them in. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, they wanted to say that he was a devil. Those that were hearing. See, he wasn't talking necessarily to people that could hear. It says in verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for this saying, and many of them said, he hath a devil, and he is mad, and why hear ye him? See that? He's mad. He didn't know what he's talking about. He's a devil. Well, he knew exactly what he was saying. But there were some others that evidently their eyes were open, and they did hear. These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? See, there's still a carryover from John 9. This is a carryover from John 9 where he had healed the blind man. And then, down in verse 24, this was when Jesus was at the feast at Jerusalem. They said, listen, quit beating around the bush. If you're the Christ, just tell us plainly, we'll believe. Just tell us plainly. Are you the Christ? Just say yes or no. Sometimes people say, I want to ask me a question in the Bible, say, I don't want to hear all that other stuff. I don't want this hour-long answer. Just tell me yes or no. Jesus answered them, verse 25, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. He said, I've told you and you didn't believe. I've done works and you didn't believe. Why? Because you're not of my sheep. That's what he said there. Notice what he said. You're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. When did he say that you're not of my sheep? Back earlier John 9. That's where we started in John 9. He said, you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, he says. He said that back in John 9. Excuse me, John 8. I'm sorry. John 8 and John 9. These folks, they were just trying to get him on every hand. But then he says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You say, well, that's talking about following him in the regeneration. Well, that's not what it said. He gave the illustration of a shepherd going and calling his sheep and them following him. He's talking about above their belief. He said, the reason you don't believe is because you're not of my sheep. And then he said, my sheep believe. My sheep follow. That's what he's saying. My sheep hear. My sheep obey. There's not a scriptural precedent of a believer living in disobedience, sitting under the sound of the gospel. Now, you say, well, what about Peter? He denied the Lord. He did, but he didn't keep denying him. What about Peter? He was led astray with the Jews up in, and Paul had to confront him to the face. That's right, but he didn't do it continually. He repented. What about David? Everybody likes to go to David. He committed adultery and murder. Makes me think everybody's wanting to give an excuse to commit adultery and kill somebody. Well, David did it, but he only did it one time. He didn't live a lifestyle of committing murder and adultery. What about Lot? Makes me think everybody's going to make an excuse for being a sodomite. Lot lived in Sodom, but he didn't partake of their wicked deeds. It said his soul was vexed with their wicked deeds. And the Bible calls the Bible calls Lot a righteous man. He didn't live a wicked life. I get tired of these people wanting to make excuses for sin when God doesn't make excuses for sin. He says you're to repent and believe the gospel and you're to obey. Instead of living your wicked lifestyle and living like you want to and expecting God to bail you out. God's not going to bail you out. You're going to live the way you want to live? He'll let you reap the consequences of the way you want to live. You say, well, what about children of God? God's children hear His voice and they follow Him. Another they will not follow. Another they will not follow. Jesus Christ said so. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe Christ. Well, I don't believe that's what that's talking about. Well, you come up with whatever you want to think it's talking about. That's what it says. Look at John 18. John 18. Jesus is standing before Pilate. I guess I'll begin at verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. See, Jesus was declared not guilty by Pilate twice, Herod once. Three times he was declared that he was innocent. But they wanted to keep their political standing, and so they killed him. Politicians may talk about God, but they'll kill the Christian for their seat. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? See, Jesus pressing the issue. Are you willing to admit that I'm the King of the Jews, or are you just talking about what other people have said? See, most people have a second-hand faith. Well, so-and-so said this, so I believe what so-and-so said. No, beloved, you either believe God or you believe falsely. Jesus answered him, verse 35, Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What have you done that they should deliver you to me? But he already knew the answers. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. I wish the Tobias and the Sanballats would get a hold of that. They wouldn't be fighting everybody then. That I should not be delivered of the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now notice this. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Did you catch that? Everyone that is of the truth heareth the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when they hear the voice? They follow Him. They're His followers. They're not trying to get the government to set up Christianity. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. Now, you hear me talk about political issues from time to time, but I tell you that it's only from the standpoint of warning you of what has ever been, that Caesar is no friend of Christ, never has been, never will be. Entertainment is not, never has, never will be. If they can get you to believe one little lie, they've got it made. By the way, I read yesterday that some feller connected with Jesus Christ Superstar said that did more to bring people to Christ than anything else. Can you imagine such blasphemy? The people will watch the filthy stuff that's against Christ and Christianity and everything else and claim it's of God. I better keep on this subject. But I tell you, it really grieves my soul when people blaspheme my God and Savior. And when people enjoy entertainment that takes my Lord's name in vain and uses filthy and wicked language. Oh, it teaches a good lesson. It may teach a good lesson, but it blasphemes my God. Anyway, Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. They're not going to follow anything else. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There were two kinds of people on the day of Pentecost standing there. You know, there's always two kinds of people. There's a believer and an unbeliever. There's a sheep or a goat. There's no in between. There's either a saved or a lost. There's no in between. I have to graciously differ with Martin Lloyd-Jones. I like a lot of his writings. I've read a lot of them and all of that. But his book on Romans 7, he said Paul was not talking about a lost man or a saved man. It was somebody in between. I have to differ with him there. There's no in-betweens. You say, well, how do you know there were two kinds of people? Well, verse 12. Talking about that whole group of people, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. Now that word other in verse 13 is from the Greek word heteros. There's two words in the Bible for other or another. One is heteros. The other is alos. Alos means another of the same kind. Heteros means another of a different kind. So there were hearers there. There were some hearers that were scoffers. There were other hearers that were not scoffers. And when the gospel was preached unto these folks, in verse 37 it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they heard this, the others heard. The one that said, what meaneth this, heard. The others did not hear. But these heard. Not everyone there on the day of Pentecost heard. Those that were pricked in the hearts heard. Now they had to have a heart that was sensitive to be pricked. And only God can give that kind of a heart. But they heard. That's my point. Turn to Acts 13. Why is it that they heard? We're going to find out as we go forward. Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas were preaching. Now the gospel has gone to the Gentiles. And in Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, notice when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. How many believed out of that whole group of Paul's preaching? Everyone that was ordained to eternal life. Everyone that heard were ordained to eternal life. Those that didn't hear, they may have heard a sound. They didn't. They did not believe. But as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see the pattern as we go throughout. We're just giving a few of the verses of Scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 16. God may open a person's heart at any time. God could open someone's heart today while I'm preaching. But I tell you what, if He does, it's not my preaching that did it. God opens the heart. And Paul went down to a place, and I tell you this also, even if you're regenerated, God must open your heart. You need God before and after regeneration. But in Acts chapter 16, Paul was there in verse 14, it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." And what happened? "And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.' And she constrained us." Notice what happened. Notice what happened to this woman immediately upon believing and being baptized. She was hospitable. Hospitable to strangers. You can see the work of grace in her heart. She was already a worshiper of God. Some people try to argue when she was born again. I'm not going to argue about that. I know God opened her heart. And she was, while Paul was preaching. The Bible says so. Pray that God open your heart every time you come here to hear the Word. Sometimes our hearts are hardened. Sometimes we come, we don't hear. But the general tendency of the Christian is he hears, he obeys, he follows. You can get into a mighty bad shape. You might get into a bad shape for weeks. You might get into a bad shape for months. You might get into it for years. I don't know. And God may bring you back out. But if you're in a bad shape, you have no evidence that God has brought you anywhere but where you are. And if you're out of sorts with God, it's not His fault, it's your fault. You see, I'm not prepared to say that every child of grace, the first time he hears the gospel, is going to obey and always follow it faithfully each and every day of his life. You don't do that. I don't do that. And I don't know anybody else that does that. But I am prepared to say that he who hears the gospel and when the Lord opens his heart, basically he's going to be following the Lord. And that's going to be his guidance. And he's going to be honoring the Lord. Every one of you know you have sinned, and you've sinned willfully. Sometimes you've said, "I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway." Well, you know what happens? God will bring the rod to your back. He'll make you so miserable, you'll crawl back to Him eventually if you don't do it on your own. I tell you, He'll take everything away from you if you don't serve Him. God is faithful to chasten His sheep. You say, "Well, God doesn't chasten me," then you're bastards and not sons. I'm not being hard or mean. I'm just hopefully being faithful. Because it's not only you here that's listening to me. There's people all over the world listening to me. And they need to know this too, and you need to know it too. We can get comfortable in our own selves and thinking we're serving God when really we may not be. And we need to bring that before the Scriptures. Acts 18. Verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You know, there's people out there who say, well, I'm a believer, but I don't think baptism is all that important. You show me a believer in the New Testament that was not baptized, other than one that was providentially hindered. There was one believer in the New Testament that was providentially hindered, and he could not be baptized, but everyone else was. You say, who was that? That was Judas. See, baptism won't save you. But every New Testament believer, except Judas, was baptized. You find me one that wasn't. You find me one that wasn't. But Tommy says he got one. Which one? What was I saying? Judas. Yeah, the thief on the cross. I'm sorry. Not Judas, thief on the cross. Sorry about that. Judas was baptized. But he wasn't. He was a devil. He wasn't of the Lord. Sorry about that. Thank you for correcting me. The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. That's when you're supposed to believe what I mean, not what I say. But no, seriously, thank you for correcting that. It was the thief on the cross could not be baptized because he was providentially hindered. But every other individual that claims to be of the Lord, when they heard, they believed. You say, well, what about? I'm not going to say what about anybody. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching God's word. I'll let God worry about what about. God didn't tell me to speculate on every individual. I can't read hearts. Somebody may appear to be all right and be a devil. Somebody may appear to be a devil and eventually be all right. I don't know hearts. I don't know hearts. I can't read hearts. But I can only tell you what the Scriptures declare. If it's going to be our rule of faith and practice. Well, I believe we can faithfully say, according to these verses, God's sheep here. God's sheep here. There's many others that could be given. Beloved, salvation is of the Lord. What kind of salvation? Every salvation there is of the Lord. Some people like to divide salvation up. Salvation is salvation in the past, in the present, and in the future. And it's all of God. It's all of God. It's not mine and God's. It's not mine and or God's. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of God from beginning to end. You say, well, aren't we supposed to save ourselves from this untoward generation, as it says in Acts 2? Yes, we are. But that too is of the Lord. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you work it out with fear and trembling. You say, well, how does it all work together? It all works together. You can't take it apart. If you take the horse away from the carriage, you'll just sit there. They have to work together. Take the engine out of a car and see how far you go. And see how far the engine will go without the rest of the car. You see, it all has to work together. It all has to work together. And it all does work together. You don't divide God up into pieces and put Him in little cubby holes. Let's pray. Father, may we be faithful to give diligence, to give undivided attention to the Scriptures, that we might know Thee more and more each day, that we might grow in our knowledge, grow in grace, the Scriptures say, grow in knowledge, the Scriptures say, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yea, Father, we don't just get a bundle of grace at regeneration and then that's it. We don't get a little bit of knowledge when we're regenerated and then that's it. The Scriptures teach us to grow in that grace and to grow in that knowledge. And that's eternal life, knowing You. And the more we know about Christ and the more we know about You, our Father, the more we're going to enjoy and benefit and soak up, if that be a good word to say it, life eternal. Oh, Father, may our souls be filled daily with life eternal of knowing You and of knowing Christ. Oh, Father, bless the word to abound. Bless the word to go forth and may truth set souls free and their enjoyment and delight and reveling in the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.